Okay, at this time I'm going to introduce to you Chris.
Hi everybody, I'm an addict. My name's Chris. And I'm grateful to be in an NA meeting today, and I'm really grateful to be clean. You know, I was thinking about how many Saturdays I definitely didn't want to be sitting here not using. And today is one of those days that's different. I was also sitting here thinking about this relationship workshop that's next door, and you know how our addict thinking, can you hear me? Okay. Our addict thinking, I heard that the relationship workshop is pretty packed, you know, and I guess if I can't work on my relationship, I'll do work on my steps, you know, and so people are coming over here. And that was my mentality when I was in earlier recovery. A couple of the things that I was thinking about with regard to step 6 and 7, I'd like to preface both of the steps with a couple of comments. I guarantee you step 6 and 7 will be 100% harder if you haven't worked a thorough fifth step. If there's anything you haven't gotten up off of in your fourth step and fifth step, it ain't going to work. Just turn around and start over. Step 6 and 7 are based on faith for me. And without true faith in something that I can see, which was my sponsor, and giving up all my stuff in my fifth step, I couldn't work my 6 and 7 step. And I found that to be true because after I finished my fifth step, I waited. And a lot of us do that. You know, I did all that writing, and then I did all that sharing, and now I'm going to do all this resting, you know, because I'm really not ready to move on to 6 and 7. I remember, this is the most vivid memory in my recovery. I had about 15 months clean, and I went to my first world convention in 1989. And the most powerful speaker I've ever heard speak was Fran Oh. She's from New York City. And I hadn't gotten to my sixth step yet. I was still in the limbo phase, you know, of hanging out and being cool, and already did my fifth step, and all my other people that I was hanging out with hadn't yet, so I was still ahead of them, and that was important. But, you know, Fran was a wise old woman. She had 20 years in 1989, and I remember her saying, you know, everyone moans and groans about the fourth and the fifth step. She said, but nobody ever talks about the sixth and the seventh step because we're dumbfounded when we get there. You know, and I truly believe that the hardest part of my program in recovery has been working the 6 and 7, 7 step. Because you know what? It's real easy for me to talk about in 4 and 5 what I did under the influence. But 6 and 7 is talking about what I'm doing today, free from drugs. And that is not as easy for me to cop to, you know. I have no excuse today other than my addiction. You know, it's not the drugs. It used to be the drugs that used to make me steal, cheat, lie, and you know, just be generally just a disgusting person. And now today I still act out on some of those defects. And it's hard as shit for me to come into a meeting and say, you know, I'm still working on this lust thing. I'm still working on this materialism thing. I'm still working on this fear thing. God damn, I still don't have this faith thing down. You know, so the most important thing, I think, with working 6 and 7, moving on in the steps, is making sure that you've got up off everything that you've got. It will not work if you don't. And, you know, the other thing I wanted to say is it's important to work the steps with a sponsor. Sometimes I've had sponsees who, you know, try to work 6 and 7 by themselves, you know, and if there's anything that's most important about this is that we cannot do this alone. Recovery is not a one-man show. And that's probably one of the biggest defects of character that I struggle with today, or shortcomings, is letting people help me. Because I know that if I let you in and I trust for you to be there for me, one day you're going to let me down. And for some reason, I still take that personally today. Like it's something that I've done or hadn't done, when it's really about your recovery. And I should feel compassion for you about that. But so that's, you know, as far as my inventory goes, you know, that's the shortcoming that I struggle with today. But when I worked my fifth step, my sponsor said to me, she said, you know, I think we've got a lot of good defects here, you know, to start working on. We can put your list together. She said, I want you to go home. And my sponsor's a big writer and reader. You know, if I'm not writing and reading every day, it's a problem. And or at least in my early recovery. And I have notebooks that are so funny to read. You know, going back now, oh my God, I was sick, you know. And I let my sponsees read it when I go through step work with them. But they think it's funny too. Damn, you were sick, you know. Yeah, look how far I've come though. You know, and but we started putting that list together. She told me, read the step every day for 30 days. And she did that with every single step that I've worked with her. And I still have the same sponsor today that I did when I came into this program. I've had a couple in between, and we had a divorce, and we got remarried, and it works for me. But, you know, I read the step every day for 30 days. And we only had the basic text then. And then she told me to make a list of all of the negative things, the patterns that I saw, the exact nature of my wrongs that we talked about in my fifth step. And my sponsor guided me. I would say, well, he did this and she did this, and that's why I did that. And then she would say, well, the exact nature of that wrong is your fear. And she would explain to me how I get there, you know. And it took me a while in my recovery. She would do that with the things that I was doing in recovery, too. You know, because I talked to my sponsor 2-3 times a day in my first year and a half, 2 years. She, you know, bless the poor woman. She didn't have any other sponsees, and I don't think she could have dealt with them. But, you know, she taught me what I was feeling. And that's what I try and give my sponsees today. You know, well, do you know how you feel? Well, if you don't, then let's try and put a label on it. And I made this big long list. I probably had 40 defects of character, you know, lust and self-centeredness and judgmental and impatience, and this big long list of icky stuff that I didn't want to be anymore. And I knew that I was entirely ready. There was no way I was not entirely ready. If I was going to write all this terrible shit that I had done and share it with somebody else, I was entirely ready to get rid of it, because I was telling you about it. And for me to let you in was the biggest step. And I knew that there was only one problem that I had with my list, and I had materialism on that list. Couldn't live without the labels and the getting and using and finding ways and means to get more money, you know. And I told her that I was entirely ready to get rid of everything on this list except for materialism. And she told me to go back and pray, you know, and ask for God to help you become entirely ready. And that was an easy cop-out for me for a little while. You know, I was praying and I was seeking answers and I was, you know, chanting and whatever. And, you know, patience and tolerance were coming, but, you know, materialism and the desire to get rid of it were not. And what we ended up doing after I'm just going to take materialism off the list because I don't know what to do. And she said, okay. She agreed to that. I didn't understand that part, but that's all right. You know, it worked. And what I found after we moved on to seven, humbly asking was the part that kicked my ass, because for me, I was the most powerful person that anybody knew. And I made sure that everybody knew that. And humility for me, it says right in our basic text in the second paragraph, it says, humility is knowing the difference between where my power ends and where God's begins. That means that there's a point where I no longer have control over not just using, but addiction. The ways that I act out in my addiction, fear, lust, you know, self-centeredness, everything, that whole big old list. Every single one I was powerless over, and that, you know, kind of pissed me off for a little while, but, you know, because I'd like to think that I have control of this thing. So once I figured out that what my job was in step seven was to surrender and ask for help and realize that it may not happen in the time frame that I wanted it to happen, my life became a lot easier. Acceptance came in. Enlightenment did not. I was not removed. This stuff was not removed from me. I still like to speed. And I still like to, you know, look at different people. You know, all the stuff that I like to act out on when I first got here. But the thing is today is I have a choice. And when I don't have a choice, I have a choice to pray. When I feel like I just can't not speed, God, please restore me to sanity. Help me with this thing because I cannot help myself. And through practicing that stuff, when I get to the place where I think, I want to get high, I want to die, I don't know how to get out of this, God, help me. Please restore me to sanity. You know, and it goes back to all the other steps that I practiced before I got to 6 and 7. My foundation of my recovery is what took me through 6 and 7. 6 and 7 are the toughest part of recovery, I believe, today. It takes a while for me to mow the grass and let the weeds die out and let some nice flowers grow up, you know. I know now today that all my little shortcomings and all that big long list of things all go down to two defects of character. That's fear and self-centeredness. And the opposite of those two are faith and God-centeredness. And so the whole damn answer to my recovery is in faith and God. And, you know, I've heard a lot of people share, and I know none of us really came in here looking for God. And it seems like every time I complete a step or, finish the work that I need to on this layer of my recovery, right, there's God. The answer's God. There's God. And the reason why step 12 is because I've had a spiritual awakening, because God is in every single step that I work. And, you know, 6 and 7 still kill me today. You know, I don't like to think that I can't be well. You know, I'm coming up on an anniversary, and I've got almost 10 years clean. And, you know, it frustrates me today that I still want to steal. This thing has not been removed. And I can afford it. I don't understand it. It's my addiction. I never have understood my addiction. And part of my struggle in recovery has been wanting to know why. Why am I an addict? Why do I have these defects of character? Why is it about God? And why do I have to tell people shit and it makes me feel better? Why does this shit work, you know? I want some answers, and who the hell has them, because I want to find out. And my sponsor always tells me, you know, you don't have to like it. You just have to do it. You know, I have a sponsor who not a lot of people are fond of. She's a real bitch, and she knows it. And I really appreciate that part about her. She'll tell you the truth, and she won't censor it. You know, for me, I'm willing to tell you the truth, but I'll make sure that you don't not like it too much, you know. And but she doesn't worry about what you think. And for a long time, I didn't understand that. It really hurt my feelings, because I thought that it was about me. And this whole 6 and 7 step thing is exactly about this, separating my defects of character from yours. You know, and that's how we can move on to 8 and 9 and make those amends, separating what I did from what you did, and, you know. But today I don't take the things personally that are about your recovery or about your disease, you know, or it's, I'm less judgmental, and it's not because I made the decision to be less judgmental about you. It's because I made the decision to be less judgmental about me. And realizing that when I can't, God can, and I need to just stop and pray. And step 7, I remember the epitome of the first time I worked this step. I had 3.5 years clean, and I'd just gotten married, and I got into a fist fight with my sister-in-law, and I was on my knees in the bathroom, and I was looking for a razor. Because I just couldn't believe I had my shit together. And I was one of those people who came around meetings and everybody say, I'm so goddamn angry. And I'm like, you're not angry. You're just hurt, and it's masking it, and you just want to act out, and it's false pride. And I had all the answers. And here I sat on the floor of my bathroom, angry, violent, rageful, and ready to take my own life, because I couldn't figure out how to manage this thing. And that was the first time that I learned how to surrender to my defects of character. And to realize where God's power began, because I obviously could see that my power ended. But I hadn't had the enlightenment, or whatever the hell it's called, to see that maybe something else outside myself could help me in that moment. And so I prayed. And something amazing happened. I got up, went to the phone, and I called my sponsor, and I surrendered again. And when we don't work the steps work us. And, you know, in my recovery, I found that it's more painful that way. And I'm one of those people that like tough lessons for some reason. I'm the frying pan. If you come up to me and you say, you know, well, you know, your sharing was a little pointed. And no, you just say, you fucking bitch, you said fuck three times. I really don't appreciate that kind of language. You know, you need to get the frying pan out for me. And I have friends that don't like the frying pan. And I carry a frying pan with me everywhere I go. Just ask me anything you want to know. And I've had to learn how to be a little gentler. And I'm trying to learn how to do that to my recovery. You know, there's no reason for me to struggle with this thing. And the funny part about it is, you know, I've gone through a lot of pain in recovery. Recovery is not easy. Anyone who stands up here and tells you that, you use them when they leave. You know, because recovery is not easy. But the pain that I have in here is easier than the pain I had out there. I got clean when I was young. I got clean when I was 19 years old. And when I came in here, everybody was old. There weren't any young people like there are now. You know, and I remember thinking, this is definitely, these people are psycho. You know, and there are times in my recovery, thank God my sponsor made me write the steps. And I can look back at my first step, because there are times when I think I was 19, I was going through a phase. I'm not an addict. I don't really have all the problems that everybody else does in these rooms. And I can look through my first step, my very first time that I put a pen to a paper without a drug in my body, and there is no doubt in my mind that I'm an addict. And I'm so grateful that my sponsor made me write these steps. Because every time addiction takes over and I forget when my power ends, I can go back to those writings and see where my best thinking got me. You know, jails, institutions, and death. We all ended up there. It doesn't matter, just like it says in the readings, what we used, who, you know, how old we were when we got here. I had miles and miles on my soul. And my load is a lot lighter today. And it's not because I've been given anything. It's because I've worked the steps and worked the steps again and worked the steps again. And I've done service work and I call my sponsor and I sponsor people in the program. And I love NA. And life is so far beyond good today. My sponsor made me write a list of everything that I wanted when I first got here. And I know that people have said that they've done this before. I definitely, it says in the basic text, we will shortchange ourselves. I actually did the list. I did shortchange myself. Even at 5 years clean, and you know, it's amazing. It's amazing what happens when we work the program. So, make your list, and if you're totally honest about step five, then you're probably entirely ready. Because if you don't want to, if you don't want to get up off your shit, you're probably not going to tell anybody. And I don't know. I don't think six and seven is that hard with hindsight. But when I first started working it was a bitch. And I'm glad that everybody's here today to share in my recovery and keep me clean. We can have a relationship meeting after the meeting. There's a workshop over there. Thanks for coming to the STEP workshop. Thanks.
Thank you, Sarah. Okay, and I'll give you the second speaker, John.
Hi, my name's John. I'm an addict. A lot of times when I'm sitting in meetings, amazed that you can follow two different paths and get to the same place. When I came in here, I'm hard-headed, arrogant, lot of other character defects, but my first sponsor, like when I first started talking about the steps, handed me a dictionary and said, look this stuff up, because what you think you know about things, you're not really in tune on. And so I looked up my, you know, the words in the first step and got on that. And I just have to say, because, like, I never wrote. The first step was the only one I ever wrote on. But my sponsor never wrote, and his sponsor never wrote. And it's just the way we did it. And the other thing that's funny to me is, like, today, because, like, when I was coming down here, a woman I know who knew me from the time I first came in, and I said, well, she said, well, what are you doing there? And I said, well, I'm supposed to share on the steps. And she said, well, that's funny, since you don't work them. And I said, well, you know, it's the way it is. Because when I came in, and like I say, I was arrogant, egotistical, and I used to make a point. I wouldn't go to step meetings. I wouldn't read the book. I would just go to meetings, share, talk about what was going on with me, and try and figure out how to live this life clean. And I had a lot of other people that would tell me how to work the steps over the time I've been in here, and tell me exactly what the book would say, and tell me exactly what they thought I should hear. But one of the things, and the reason I share this, is because my concept of a higher power was different than their concept of a higher power. My concept of a higher power was a totally loving entity who did not make a flawed creation. I made bad choices. When I got to the sixth step and I looked it up in my dictionary, it said to me a lack or insufficiency of something desirable. Not that I was flawed, but that I was lacking or insufficient in something desirable. Because I had turned that over in my third step to a higher power, and because of the way I relate to it, it is easier for me to work to fill myself up with something I am lacking than to think I am a flawed creation and try and get rid of things. And that is the way it has worked for me. I told people when I was sharing on this, I wouldn't be that long, because to me, if you believe in a higher power, and if you have turned your will and your life over to God, and if you believe God will make you complete, which I do, which has happened in here. The other thing I found out a lot for me is, by the time I got to the sixth step, and I won't say I didn't have, like, major trauma working steps in my own way, because my higher power has a wicked sense of humor and would make sure the humbleness one I've been working on, you know the line in the book, if you refuse to be humble, you will be humiliated. And that one worked a lot, because I, for a long time, refused to be humble. I still do sometimes today. But the fact is, I only had to make a decision to have my higher power remove all these defects of character. And by that I mean remove my insufficiencies. And then I just had to humbly ask. And if you look up humble in the dictionary, it'll say you are aware of your shortcomings. It is impossible to ask God to remove your shortcomings without being humble. They just go together. You have to do that. Now, since I came down here, when I told people about this, I have heard the greatest things from people. I've really enjoyed yours. Sharing with me just what they had got from their sponsor, from themselves, on working six and seven steps. I've heard some of the greatest ways of looking at things, which to me is the power of this program. It is the fact that my higher power speaks through your mouth. That has always worked since the first day I walked in here. You know, my higher power loves me, but my higher power tells me I gotta listen. You know, and even when I thought that what I was listening to was wrong, I would listen. And I would go home and I would think and I would consider. And I would usually come back to the conclusion of, like, when I hear people say, well, I'm not sure I want to call it God. Call it what you will. It works. It's worked since the first day I walked in here. I walked in here over 12 years ago. And from the first day I walked in here, I haven't had to pick up, which is what Narcotics Anonymous told me quite simply. That if I came to a meeting and if I didn't pick up, I wouldn't get high and my life would go on from there. And like I said, I had trouble with humility, still do. You know, when I came in, these steps used to have a little line on the top of them that said, these are suggested only. After 3 years, they took that out. You can imagine somebody with ego and, you know, because up till that time, I could say, hey, says these are suggested. You know, people wouldn't let me get away with that. Everybody told me, you know, that it's not a suggestion. My sponsor had told me that. But the fact of the matter is, I don't find it that difficult. You know, I don't say there's not pain involved in coming to the realizations of, like, searching and fearless moral inventory will bring you about pain and that just because I have to look at where I came from. But if I believe, and once I, if you look at it, you have already shared with God a couple times by the time you get here. You've told God in your fifth step before you share it with a sponsor, before you share it with another person. I shared mine at a meeting at Narcotics Anonymous because I didn't care what you all did with it. I trust you all, you know, because, like, you've never let me down since I came in the doors. You know, I shared it with my sponsor, too, but I shared it with you all because I was not afraid to let you know exactly where I came from, exactly what I did, because if anybody's going to understand me, it's you people, you know. So I believe, and this is why I told people, and I'm sorry on this because when I was asked to speak, I didn't know I was supposed to speak for half an hour. And I have never done that. Well, actually, I have done that. You let me go, I can roll on a tangent for an hour. So I don't want to really be lying about that. But what got me clean, what kept me clean, working these steps was listening to you. Was listening to everybody tell me how it works, how you work it, what your experience was. Because my experience might be different than yours. Like I said, my experience is my higher power is not judgmental and does not have the same slant that I get sometimes from people. And that's okay, because that's mine. And it doesn't have to be yours. That's why it's in there, worded that way, as we understand it. But a lot of times, the message that comes through to me, because it's still coming after all this time through a filter of an addict, and I believe I've cleaned up a lot of things, it gets garbled, you know. And what I want to do now is, like I said, I would book out early, because I want to hear from you. I want to hear from the other people here. They usually save, I think 15 minutes at the end, so you can share if you feel like it. I would hope you would feel like it. Otherwise, what are you doing in the step workshop? That's all. Thanks for letting me share.
We have about 25 minutes, and if anybody would like to come up and share, they can on 6 and 7. Or just where you're at.
Hi, everybody. My name is Charles, and I'm an addict. I'm in the right place simply because I just finished my 6th and 7th on the way down here 3 hours with my sponsor. So I agree with what John was saying about, and he was saying about working with your sponsor. Just so much more insight into what you're dealing with, which is a pretty much baffling process. Now I was able to get some clarity out of it. You know, this program is a wonderful program because, I don't know, in my experience in this program up until this point, it seems like the God of my understanding places the perfect situations in my life for me to be dealing with the steps as I come upon them, you know. And I think it just goes back to the fact that I just really believe I don't work the steps, they work me. You know, and it saved my life. And that's just because life on life's terms is just such a different way of life for me. You know, my normal way of life is definitely acting out on my character defects, following through on my shortcomings, and therefore, you know, creating destruction in my life. And just like I was sick and tired of using them, I'm pretty much sick and tired of that as well. Those results from that type of behavior. I like the analogy that she gave, and that was knowing where my footwork ends and where God's begins. That's basically what the seventh step of the six and seven means to me. You know, and the third step I came to believe, you know, seventh step for me is I truly and totally trust the God of my understanding. And it's going to a higher level. I really don't have a choice. It's like my man was saying, you know, we either share now or what else are we going to do? That's a part of my recovery that I have to face. And if not, I'm going to be humiliated. And I've been in situations of humiliation. For me, my sixth step, getting to the exact nature of the many, many character defects that come with being an addict, period. And I found that the main three were my fear, anger, and resentment. You know, and I can become fearful of anything that I feel up in my committee that threatens me. And, you know, my anger kicks in. And from there, my resentment takes over. And it's just a totally bad scene all the way. You know, so I could relate to you being on your knees praying, you know, after feeling like this thing of recovery had worked so well. I've been in that space, and that's another thing I love about this program is we're more alike than different, and I can count on that, you know, that I'm not unique and I'm not the only one that goes through that, so I can get some help from you people. They're both freedom steps for me, and I really truly mean that, because now if I choose to, you know, I can practice that trust in my higher power. It's going to be all right. And I really don't have to sweat it no more. It's a lot more painful for me as just a normal human being to sweat trying to fix something than to turn it over to my God and just let Him handle it. You know, and the beautiful thing about it is along the way, like she was saying, after each step, and realizing that God is in that step, and that's where it really goes. I don't know, I just feel all the steps are just a deeper process of surrender to my higher power. And the beautiful thing about it is, I totally believe in the evidence. And evidence is just real simple at this particular point. I'm happy, I'm clean, and I'm here in Ocean City enjoying this precious gift to recover. Thanks for letting me share.
Hi everyone, I'm an addict named Ron. I just want to thank the two of you for sharing. I just had a couple quick thoughts while I was sitting back there on my experiences with six and seven. Is what I've found for myself is my defects really haven't gone anywhere. It doesn't matter how many days at a time I put together clean. It's like a rubber band. No matter how far out it stretches, it'll come back in a moment's notice. What I've come to believe for myself is that's like my higher power's way of establishing my boundaries. If I know what my defects are, then I know what to not step out over. And when I ask for my higher power to remove my shortcoming, the difference for me is the defect, they're going to lay there, and if I'm working a program, I'm going to be able to deal with them. But when they start kicking my butt, you know, my higher power is the only thing that can remove them. And what he seems to do is get them out of my way so I can get another day clean and just keep on doing the next right thing and focusing. So he kind of removes them for me, you know. So to me, there's like a little difference between the defects and the shortcoming. The shortcoming for me is like acting out on it. And I'm real grateful to my higher power for getting that stuff out of the way so I could put another day together. Because I'm coming up probably in another week of about, I have over 9,000 just for the days put together. You know, what that means for me is I'll get another multiple year key tag. What's really important for me to remember is this isn't for me. This is for you. Whatever time I've been gifted with is your time. Whatever time you've been gifted with is my time. Because you've been my hope, you've been my inspiration, and you're what keeps me going. And when it comes right down to it, you know, all we have is just for today. That's all I have. Thanks.
I'm a recovering addict. My name's Maria.
Hey, Maria.
Hi. And I wanted to share on this stuff because I was thinking about what Chris said, and I did exactly the same thing. I was really balls to the wall when I came in because I really wanted this thing, and I hated myself, and I wanted to be anybody but me. So if these steps were going to help me be somebody different than who I was when I came in, then, or at least, you know, the way that I felt when I came in, I was going to do it. And I worked and I crammed and I wrote and wrote and wrote. And I cried and I talked and I did a lot of stuff until I got to that fifth step. And all of a sudden, I just came to like a screeching halt on 6 and 7. Because I kind of did the same thing. And I was just thinking about that when she was sharing. I thought, maybe I need to share about that. It took a little while. But one of the things that she said, I was thinking I came to the same conclusion working 6 and 7. I kind of worked 6 and 7 together because basically my sponsor said when I wrote my fifth step, I had my shortcomings. You know, I had made that list. I knew what they were, and I could see how I had acted out on them, and that was my job to start looking at how I was acting out on them now. And seeing these patterns in my life that were more insidious before, because it was, like she said, I could use my addiction or my using as an excuse, and now I can't do that anymore. And I kept having to get to the exact nature of the situations and the circumstances that kept coming up over and over. You know, always wanting to fix something. That's like one of my biggest things. I always want to fix somebody. And that's, you know, what I realized is that's because I'm so self-centered that I think that all your stuff is about me. You know, if you're unhappy, that's my fault. If you're happy, that might be my fault too, but you know, it was all about me. And I just want to emphasize for me that all this stuff has been about sponsorship for me. Because when I came in, I didn't have a sense of a higher power. The higher power that I knew when I was little, I detested by the time I came in. And I didn't want to have anything to do with that and had a lot of resentments with that. But I knew that I had found the right sponsor. And my sponsor was my higher power. And she has helped me get through every single step. And I couldn't have done any of that without her. You know, and if I hadn't worked thoroughly the steps that I have worked, you know, I'm coming up on trying to make my amends. And this has been really hard because I really thought I had identified a lot of stuff in 6 and 7. And when I found out that I needed to make direct amends to people, I realized that I didn't see all my stuff as clearly as I thought I had, you know, because I had to I had to really think about what was I actually going to say to somebody, because it was different saying it to my sponsor and talking about it to you in a meeting and talking about what I did to him or her or whatever. But, you know, when I thought about it, I just had to go to somebody and really get humble in front of them about the exact nature of my wrong. You know, I had to go back and do a little bit more work on 6 and 7 before I could get to 8 and 9. But, thank y'all for being here. I owe my whole life to N.A. And, you know, was sitting here thinking about people and how different we are, but how alike we are. And I haven't yet known anybody in recovery so far that if you didn't work the steps, your life didn't get better. You know, I've known a lot of people who come in and talk about working the steps, and I'm doing this, and they talk about it, you know, and they give it a lot of lip service. But pen to paper or whatever your sponsor tells you to do, you know, it doesn't have to be pen to paper, you're right. But if you're doing what your sponsor tells you to do and you've got a sponsor and you're working the steps, then I haven't met anybody that it didn't get better and they didn't feel better and they didn't get the same thing I got and the same thing my sponsor had that I wanted. And I'm grateful for that, and I'm grateful for you all, because I can't do this alone. And I can't do it without meetings, and I can't do it without, you know, without meetings, whether they're big, huge meetings with 5,000 people or, you know, two meetings between me and my sponsor. So, thanks a lot.
Good evening, group. I'm Vernon P., and I'm an addict. It's really good to be here and being at this convention this year. I'm going to share a little bit from my strength and my hope with six steps as I have experienced it. And the sixth step is where it is, because I was listening to him share. You see, these steps come together in groups. You got a spiritual group, then you get a working group. And to me, five, six, and seven are working steps. But in that fifth step, having had an experience with the God of my understanding, there was a lot of things that went on in there. And a whole lot of sixth step is talking about living and dying. The old got to die so the new can be reborn. And a whole lot of the old, we refuse to let go. And even in the sixth step, you will hit a lot of bottoms because you think, I know what I'm doing with this one. God, you can have the rest of them. You can help me with those, but I got this one. And you don't want to really let it go. You know, there was a story about this little boy. He wanted to rob this fruit wagon. And he was determined this day to catch this fruit wagon. He had got tall enough to catch it. And so he was running, and the wagon was going. He finally got a hand on it, and he was holding on to it. And finally, when the wagon, he held on until his knee came out of his pants, it was bleeding, the toe came out of his shoe, it was gone. And then the wagon finally came to a stop, and he was able to look up on it. And he was holding on all that time, but when he looked up, there wasn't a thing on the wagon. So some of our character defects, we hold on to them because we believe that we can change something. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Old relationship, all that stagnant stuff in our life, that we just believe we're going to fix it. Someday, I'm going to fix this shit right here. You know, and the sixth step is so devastating because it get us there and to get us in a mode to separate the girl from the woman and the boys from the man. This is a God-given step. And if you haven't tried your high power, and if you're faking it, and you didn't do that too good in step two, then when you get up to six, there's going to be a whole lot of stuff that you're going to keep on struggling with. Because we got a sense that we can sit still in familiar pain, and we can handle this. But to be the comfort and the courage. The comfort is to set in old pain and hurt. The courage is to get the hell up out of there and go on with your life. Change you must, or die you will. Talked about that early in the steps. So the sixth step gives us the chance, gives us an opportunity to look at a beginning. That's all it do. Sixth step is a beginning of having God remove these defects of character and continue on the journey of a new way of life to let us unlearn, to relearn, to get another look at just what we're doing. It's suggested that we do this with a sponsor that has a working knowledge of the sixth step and that's willing. And it teaches me, my sponsor teaches me, Vernon, just pray for the willingness. And that's what I do. A lot of things that come up in the sixth step, which was very devastating to me, was to stay spiritually grounded. Because situations come, and they don't come with your sponsor right there. And they talk about nothing be between you but a God of your understanding and that situation, whatever it be. It can be in family, or it can be on a job or wherever it's at. Those character defects is steady there. And they'll lay so cool, they'll lay so still, they'll even fake you. Sufoot will fake you. He'll let it be that you're almost all right with this. Ain't nothing going on. I remember one day, there wasn't nothing going on with me, but I was standing in my office, and a guy came in. He had about $1,500 in his pocket, and he wanted to use. And my old selfish way was say, you want to use, go ahead. But my character defect was saying that. But my other part of me said, I better help this addict. And that's how subtle this disease is in my character defects. Am I willing to go to whatever length I have to go, not just for me, but to do something for somebody else? Because the nature of my disease is a selfish nature. So I have to watch that one. I have the one that most of us guys have. I'm kind of got a little old now. I ain't making that much noise with it, but I still have a sexual desire. I have a sexual behavior. I have a behavior pattern with it. I saw it in my fifth step that I had a lot of fantasies that I like to chase out. And a lot of times, I think I want to chase out a fantasy. But having asked God to remove that from me and doing whatever I have to do to let that old die, that comes very hard. And so that's why it takes time in the sixth step. And that's why it's so important that it did those spiritual steps, those first three steps in the block of the foundation. Because the only way the sixth step is really going to work is to have something to stand on while you're waiting to go to the next stage, next move. Because you go through the phases that's in the character defects of having them removed. So that's how the sixth step kind of worked for me. And then when I got to the seventh step is a powerful step. I believe that the seventh step is a step where it helped me deal with humility. What is humility? Humility is, if I don't take and accept humility and be willing to take 100% of my responsibility and whatever situation come up in my life, that I am setting myself up for humiliation. And in having had that humility experience and things that I say and do, I was able to get into the seventh step. And it's too far to the seventh step. The seventh step is where we really start to change. We will see a lot of change. The old will not work no more. I have to be spiritually grounded here, because here's where another surrender come in. Now, when I first came in the room, I was real sick. I was hurting. I was painful. I was mentally, spiritually, emotionally, physically bankrupt. And I was willing to surrender to anything just to get that hawk up off my butt at that time. And so just coming here, sitting still, going to meetings, and I was able to find a way to surrender. But it wasn't until I got in that second step when I found a God of my understanding that I thoroughly was able to surrender the pain, the misery, the derogation, the dereliction, the segregation, isolation, all of those things that I had afflicted myself with for so long, and that prison that I had put myself in. And the only way I knew how to live and the only things that I really knew how to do was walk up to you and have a triangle. Myself was in a triangle of obsession. I'd get angry with you, I'd fear you, and I'd get a resentment from you. And then I would wrap self-centeredness around that, self-righteousness around that, self-reliance around that, self-pity around that, hate, ego, image, and attitude. And all that did was put me in a prison of myself. And I did not know how to get out of it unless I had a drink. I got out for till the drink went. And when the drink wore off, I was root right back up inside of myself again. If I had sex, I was good for a minute. Until the dope ran out, I was good for a minute, but I would always wind up self inside of self with all of that pain and all of those defects of character was wrapped around that. And that's why it was so important for me in the sixth step to have the willingness to start moving some of that stuff. And with prayer and meditation and going to meetings and asking y'all and helping y'all to help me and I to help you, I've been able to stay out of sight of self for 10 years now. And that's how the sixth and seventh step is so important to me. Now, in that seventh step, what happened in that seventh step, when I was sharing about the surrender, and the second part of the second step, it talks about we are now in a mood of transformation. Our old way has to die, and now the new way is being reborn. And so that is where we are transformed from the old me to the new me today. And that's what recovery is all about, being transformed. And only one person and one spirit that can it's just transferring our spirit. And it's only one person can do that. And that's the God of our understanding. I have no problem naming who mine is, y'all may, but I don't have a problem with Jesus Christ. He's the only one that was there for me. He's been there for me. He brought me out of that crack house and got me in here. And he gave me a life that I did not know how to live, and it's teaching me how to live one day at a time. Now, the transformation I'm talking about is a spiritual surrender that happens in the seventh step. The same God we ask for in the fifth step, the same God we ask for in the sixth step, and the God we ask for in the seventh step is the one now that we surrender to. And this is where I live my life on a day-to-day basis, turning my will, my life, and my thinking over to the God of my understanding. Not my will, but your will be done. And it takes a lot of humility in situations where I want to use the old way. Because see, if I first see something, I got this carnal mind and I got a spiritual mind. See, that battle continues to go. And I will always want to go right to that old way quick and fast. That's what I know. But the spiritual way is the one that I'm learning to use, and that's the one that's keeping me peaceful, serene, and living without a lot of pain in my life today. That has been my experience with the sixth and the seventh step, and that is what I had to share today. And thanks for letting me share.
Hello, family. I'm an addict named Toy Lander. I'm right here on the seventh step. And I know when I did my fourth step, like, I seen a lot of defects. I thought that that's all it was to me was defects. But in the middle of dumping my fifth step with my sponsor, I heard a lot of character. I found out that I had a lot of character and it was a lot of good to me. And fear set in between my fifth and my sixth step. Fear set in and paralyzed me. And I began to resort back to a whole bunch of old behaviors. And it had gotten to the point where it happened is I came up to an anniversary in D.C. and I had to speak. When I was speaking, I heard a lot coming up out of me. You know, it was a spirit within me speaking up out of me. And I went home and I cried and I called my sponsor like that Sunday night and I said, listen, I'm entirely ready. You know, it had gotten to the point for me that either grow up or die. You know, the pain had become so unbearable, you know, that I was like, there's no way out, you know, what is there left to do? It was like I was at the end of my road, and she suggested that I pick up the book, and I began to begin to read, and I started that process. And when I first gave her my six step, it was like 12 character defects, and she suggested I continue to write. Needless to say, like, it was a whole bunch more. And the blessing of it all, it was some hope shots there, you know. It was some excesses that I seen, you know, to the flip side of those defects. And I need to say, like, on the sixth step, it had, you know, it really tore me up. You know, I lived it. I outlived it. And it brought me to a surrender point, you know. Just like last week, I was walking across on my way to a meeting, and I was in the park, and I like just surrendered, you know. Help me, you know. I had acted out and on a shortcoming, and that's when I got in touch with, this is what shortcoming means, you know. This is what the book talks about. When I woke up, I got up and was in my bathroom and had felt that same feeling when, like, I was at the end of my road with using. And it was that feeling like when you get bumped, you know, and you can't cry victim, because I showed up for it, you know. I was like, God, help me. Help me. Went into the meeting, tore up, you know, and like the most I could get out is like just put me in that circle, you know. But I need to say today it has gotten better. Through prayer, through sitting still, and through listening, you know. Just sitting still and listening. I'm not where I want to be. I need to say that, y'all. But I'm not where I was just last week, you know. Just last week. This is awesome. You know what I'm saying? Only through taking some suggestions, sitting still, and praying, God is truly good. You know, and I know it's still a whole lot of work to be done. But it's okay, because that spiritual principle tell me, all I got to do is be willing. And today I'm willing. You know, I want to get better. I was sitting here, and everywhere I go, you know, I see this person that when I was up at the rehab, I was just hearing about this rehab. I was out on my way up here, and I can remember my counselor telling me it was supposed to have been a 90-day program. I was up there for 41 days, and she had said, we're going to give you your certificate, and we're going to give you your little send away home, and you get to tell your story. But you got to go. You're extremely too manipulative. And then like, she started telling me about me, and I'm looking at her like, you don't even know me. You know, and I went up to this rehab, y'all, and I need to share this because it talks about, this is some of these defects in here. When I went up to this rehab, I had took the big earrings with my name. Thank you. The big earrings with my name on it and things such as that. And they tried to strip me, and I wasn't trying to let go. And I need to say that's a part of my process, not wanting to let go. And that's where a lot of my pain comes from, not wanting to let go. But today I need to say I have surrendered on a totally new level. Thanks for allowing me to share.
I'm still sharing. I'm an addict. And we've come to the hour. This has been a really good meeting. I know. I was reading the sixth and seventh step before I came here, and I like what you said, Vern. It's about willingness. And if I'm not willing to do what is suggested by the program, then I'm not willing to receive the gift called humility. I find it a gift today because it keeps me contented and peaceful, and I like that way. I don't have a whole lot of confusion. It gets difficult, but it's not painful. I believe addiction was painful. When I look back, I was suffering so bad, and I didn't come here to suffer today. So I'm going to read just for today. And tell yourself, just for today, my thoughts will be on my recovery, living, and enjoying life without the use of drugs. Just for today, I will have faith in someone in NA who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. Just for today, I will have a program. I will try to follow it to the best of my ability. Just for today, through NA, I will try to get better, a better perspective on my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. My thoughts will be on my new associations, people who are not using and who have found a new way of life. So long as I follow that way, I have nothing to fear. Now we can close.
And there was two.